Good morning. Today we continue on our Messiah Strong series, and we're getting to the part called Resource Excellence. And it makes one pause, and we do talk about this a lot, so I hope you know the answer to this. But what is Messiah's best resource? I think the white shirts are a good help, but it's really all of us in this room. It's God's people. It's you. It's me. It's us. And that's certainly something I'm going to talk about today. And we talk about time and treasure as a gift that God's people can give back to his church. But what's the second greatest resource? It's money. It's God's treasure. And I bet you're thinking, oh, great, a sermon about money. Those are always wonderful. Jesus talked about it an awful lot. But I am going to talk about his treasure today. You are going to hear that. But before we do, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I have been able to reflect all week on something you started on September 27th, 2017, a couple days ago, 7 years ago. Lord, this place, this family, voted for two things. They voted to build more rooms so that more people could come to know you through your word, and they voted to call a third pastor. Lord, I am humbled and I am grateful for this family that did that. And I am so thankful that you called me to be that third pastor so that I could preach the word of God today, even the hard stuff. And Lord, we love being the church, not just a building, but the people and the people surrounding God's word. As Martin Luther once said, where the word of God is, there is his church. So help us hear the word, help us meditate on your word, and help us live according to your word in the way that you've called us to. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. So as I mentioned, we've been doing Messiah Strong. We started with connect and how we can connect here as the family that is the Messiah family, this church. We talked about the discipleship pathway, that those things we do that help us grow spiritually and just amazing faith development that we get to do here at Messiah. And then we talked about kingdom growth. That's really what it's all about, connecting a discipleship pathway or helping the kingdom to grow. And now we're talking about resource excellence. And next week we'll talk about the end goal, completely more people knowing Jesus. And what's amazing about this, and you heard in my prayer, September 27th, 17, we made a big step in faith. And what I love about it is, ever since then, we've been living out what I believe is a very biblical model for the church. Not just Bible reading, we certainly are doing that, but Bible doing. And if you look at the Bible, especially in Acts, as the early church was starting off, as Jesus went to be with the Father, what's the one thing God's people do? In Acts 2, it's very evident. One of the first things they do is they realize that all their treasure is God's, and it's been entrusted to them. There's so many different things they're working out of how they're going to help more people know Jesus, and they give generously, especially resourcing ministry. Gathering, but also sending. Funding the ministries that they have together and then helping it go out to help other churches, back to Jerusalem, out to Ephesus, wherever it may be. That's exactly what the church was doing. And I'm proud to say we continue to do that today. And I wanted to say this, knowing we're going to be taking some time a little bit later to bring offering forward, I think that's exactly the type of thing God's church should be doing. But I also want to acknowledge, I know it's a big ask. I know it's asking a lot of you with so much going on in your lives and a difficult time in history, some might say. But it's an important ask. And we wouldn't do it if we didn't believe in what God is doing through you, through us here at Messiah. And I also want to say, if you don't understand the importance of it, if you don't get what God is doing, if you would be giving just to check a box or because you feel guilty, or if you were doing it begrudgingly, please don't. Please do not. That is not what God wants for his people. God wants people to give cheerfully, understanding the united goal of the church. And if you aren't there yet, we will continue to pray that the Holy Spirit moves through you. We understand that. And we want to be clear about what this is and what this isn't. But above all, God wants your heart. And one of the ways he shapes your heart and helps to know your heart is what Matthew said in Matthew 6, where our treasure lies there our heart will be also. So he is probably calling you to face some difficult questions. And so that's why I brought up this amazing text from Haggai. It shows you exactly that God confronts his people on difficult issues, issues of the world we probably don't want to talk about. In our reading today, we hear the first words of God spoken by a prophet. And actually, Haggai has a pretty long historied opinion of being short, sweet, and not a good prophet. People thought he was kind of blunt from what I was reading. And if you read the text today, he was. But after exile, we needed a blunt prophet. God has brought his people home to Jerusalem. This was approximately 2,544 years ago in August or September, just like this one. The people were going about their lives as Christians, just like you and I were, I guess Jews at the time before Christ came. And Brian Gurman, in his Haggai commentary, said this. He said, in this text, Haggai, we find God's people with broken hearts over the past, missing the way things were before, and with much anxiety about the future. Man, I can't imagine being like that. You see, we learn from the book of Ezra that while the Israelites made it a priority as they returned to Jerusalem to build the altar and lay the foundation of the temple, most likely so they could celebrate their festivals, they let 18 years go by. 18 years without building God's house so the word could be proclaimed in it the way they had always had before exile. And they do say why. Ezra talks about the saboteurs, the political movements, and just generally the busyness of life that kept people from building the temple. God was very patient with them. He let 18 years go by until the word of God came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. God first told Haggai, the people keep putting off building the temple. They keep saying, now's not the time, now's not the time, now's not the time. So busy with other things. So he told Haggai, can you please ask him this pointed question? Is it a time for you to yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house, God's house, lies in ruins? A pretty difficult question to hear, I'm sure. You see, behind that question is many other questions. Have you forgotten who it is that delivered you from exile? Who brought you home and gave you all that you have? Do you think I'm not with you? Is it maybe because you aren't hearing my word in the temple like you are called to do? Is the world and all your stuff coming in between us? Have you forgotten who it is that restored and gave it all to you? Have you forgotten who owns it all? And then these three simple words he says, consider your ways. God spoke through Haggai, take a look at yourself. Look in the mirror. Take a look at your life. Is it a life that fears, loves, and trusts in me? Or is it something else? And I think what he's saying the most is, if your heart is really mine, how could anyone tell? How could your children? How could your neighbors? How could I, your good and gracious God, how could I tell that your heart is truly mine? Searching for the fruit that trusting in him and faith bores. See, before God's people could try and deny the truth, God spoke again. And this is where it gets really difficult, I'm sure, for the Israelites to hear. But God in his mercy didn't let them... let me read it first. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. He's talking about the treasures on this earth that will waste away, that will rust. I'm sure for the Israelites, spoken by Haggai, these were very hard words to hear. It was a very tough mirror to look in. But God in his mercy didn't let them live buried under their sin. And he said once more, consider your ways. He's calling them to repent. And then he tells them to go up in the hills and bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified. See, he didn't let them stay distracted. He didn't let them stay too busy for him. He helped them with their priorities. He gave them a mission to go on. He gave them something to do that would help shape their hearts and minds. And you think back to King David, who felt terrible when he lived in a house and God was dwelling in a tent. You think of King Solomon, who built this majestic temple to God. These Israelites had a different heart. But God calls them back to his word, the living word that fills stomachs and quenches thirst and brings warmth and clothing people in righteousness and only the way he can. And what happens next? God's people heard. And in faith, they responded. And they finished and they built the temple. I can't help but think what the Israelites' life would have been like if God wouldn't have intervened with those difficult words. I'm pretty sure there would never have been another temple, a place for people to hear God's word. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have been able to hear that word. There would have been no word, no faith, no hope, no purpose, no life, and no life eternal. But because God spoke that difficult truth, which I believe was gracious of him, the people did what wasn't easy, and it wasn't without great sacrifice. But it restored the place where God promised to be so that all of them could be with him. I imagine what life would be like for the Israelites, but I also started thinking of what my life would be like without this church. Brian Gurman said this very pointed piece that is taking this part of Haggai and applying it to our day today as the church. And he said, indeed, another way of saying that it is not the time to build the house of Yahweh is to say that it is not the time to build up the body of Christ. It's not the time to grow the kingdom, which is the very temple of God in the Christian church. These are convicting words for all of us. But again, I talked about a long time ago, we decided to be the church God wanted us to be, to build, so that all can hear God's word. And the best part about that is, God continues to work through that to bring people here. The things we were prayed about, we're hoping about, are working. And the cool part is, we get to hear God's word, and now we get to explore it and meditate on it, and let it shape our hearts and minds. Last week, Pastor John shared about kingdom growth using Mark 4. He talked about the parable of the sower and the mustard seed. Well, the cool part is, as I was trying to figure out the text for this week, us pastors were, I found that these parables are also captured in Matthew 13. And if you keep reading past those parables, you get the parables that were read today, the hidden treasure and the pearl of great value. So I got into a commentary by someone named Jeffrey Gibbs, and this guy knows Matthew better than anyone on the planet, I think. And he talks about parables and how we read them, and every time he talks about them, or I read about his work, I realize that I don't always get these parables right. Which isn't abnormal, because the disciples and the crowds had trouble with these parables too. You see, the two audiences that the parables were preached to from Jesus were the big crowds. And when Jesus was teaching them in parables, he was trying to meet them where they were at, but he was also trying to get their attention, to build their curiosity, and sometimes even confuse them a little bit, because you can hear them saying things like, I've never heard anyone preach like this teacher. But then you also have what we have in Matthew 13. And it's disciples, or his audience is just the disciples. They've gone away from the crowd, and of course, as the disciples get alone with Jesus, they say, all right, what did that mean? And in those times, Jesus certainly prepares and does teach the disciples, but he also encourages them. And that's what we have in Matthew 13. You see, around the disciples, as they gather with Jesus, trouble is brewing. Even though Jesus is preaching, there are people failing to repent. The leaders are after them because they don't get that Jesus is fully God and fully man. Things are only going to get worse, and they come to Jesus for assurance. And so with a parable about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus does exactly that. He tells them the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. See, Dr. Jeffrey Gibbs talks in his commentary about Matthew. He encourages us. He says, whenever you read a parable in Matthew that talks about the reign of God or the kingdom of heaven, any individual actors are probably God or Jesus. The main character, the one doing the work, is probably Jesus. You see, I've made this mistake many times. I read myself into the story. I read myself into the parable. And I made that mistake with Matthew 13 here. I was thinking of myself as the man and the merchant. I was the one that was searching for the treasure and the pearl. And having received those gifts, I'm the one that has to go sell it all. But knowing the setting, knowing the rest of Scripture, letting Scripture interpret Scripture, looking at what the kingdom of heaven is like, that's not what Jesus was talking about. You see, what Jesus was talking about was himself. He was talking about us. He was saying that you are not the man or the merchant. You are not the one who is searching for something. You are not the one that has to sell it all. That is not how God brought his kingdom to earth. The kingdom of God came in Jesus Christ. And that means in this beautiful parable, you are the hidden treasure. You are the pearl of great value. He has found you. He has hidden and protected you as you live here on earth. And he has gone and sold it all to obtain you. He has bought you. You are his. And he is coming back for you. You see, God actually spoke about this in Haggai. If you go to the next chapter, he said, yet once more in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations, my people, shall come into my house, the temple, and I will fill this house with glory. You see, he wanted them to build the temple not for his own glory. Yes, he would be glorified, but so that the people would come and hear his word. He built the temple and we built this place so more and more people could come and realize they're not the man, they're not the merchant. You are the treasure. You are the pearl. That's why we do what we do here. And that's why we want to resource this place excellently, so that more people can know God's mercy and God's grace and God's true story for you. And the best part is in Haggai 2, the reason why he shares this good news and wants his temple to be built is so that in this place, I will give peace. God speaks so you may have peace. As Jesus, through this parable, was encouraging the disciples and telling them not to fear, we too should be encouraged and have no fear. As his treasure, he covered us up and called us. What was once buried has now been found. You see, we being bought with the blood of Jesus now walk in a newness of life. And in the kingdom of heaven, and that kingdom of heaven came in Jesus Christ. He has brought us, bought us. He has called us to live here on earth as the disciples were called in Galilee and all around the Holy Land to be living sacrifices. We too are called for this. But though we live as these sacrifices, we live knowing He is coming back for us. And while God could do whatever He wants with us, His treasure, He has brought us to this place, Messiah. A place that has stepped boldly forward and built boldly in faith so that we can hear, share, and invite others to hear the truth of God's word. With the world trying to figure out how they can be searching for treasure or being the merchant searching for the pearl, God is sending us out to share the truth with them, anyone that will hear, that they are the treasure. They are the pearl. Christ has died for them too. And God is sending many people boldly to be generous with their time and talents, joining Jesus on His mission and inviting people here. Here to a place where, because God working through the generosity of so many people in this room, we have plenty of room for more people to hear in this temple each and every day. And by God's grace, through the generosity of His people, we have 3, now 4, and a few other pastors that are ready to preach God's word so that we all may know Him, trust Him, and be transformed by Him. And to that I say, may all praise, honor, and glory be to Him who does all things, and in and through us, His people, His treasure, and His pearl. Amen.